those of you that are regular listeners to Warbird Radio, then you know that we are currently broadcasting from a remote location in the Middle East. And we, for various reasons, cannot disclose where that is. But I bring that up because Group Captain Stevens has been a number of places over there. And I want to emphasize this tonight because it's so important for all of you to hear this who are from England, and for all the Americans to hear that as one of our greatest allies currently in the fight against terrorism, as we speak, the coalition forces are gathered in the Command Air Operations Center even right now. And a lot of ordnance is being dropped. And I want to tell a story that I know is now open source. It's been in the media. And I don't know how many of you have heard this, but a few months back, there was an ISIS execution underway. So there's the guy on the ground. He's getting ready to get his head cut off. They move in, and they kill somebody that's important there, the way they work. And this guy's about to have his head lopped off. And in the Air Operations Center, they're watching this unfold, the coalition. And the RAF was the only force that had a weapon in the area of low impact. And they noticed that there was this guy on the roof, a guard on the roof. And so they vaporized him, literally within seconds. And everybody kind of looks around. If you watch the tape, they look around and they're like, what just happened? Well, the RAF happened. The coalition happened. And so the guy stands up who's about to have his head chopped off and walks away, and that's that. And you guys do that every single day. And that story, sadly, is not being told, how we are currently in this fight over there. And it is a coalition, and you guys were a huge part of it that day and every day. So thank you for that, because it's incredible the work that you're doing over there.
Well, it's it is a coalition fight, you're right. I mean, it's a fight against terrorism that we're all very familiar with, I'm sure. You're right, there's many, many untold stories. And there's a lot of people putting themselves in harm's way in the skies, certainly, but also on the ground. But also, I don't forget the psychological effects of watching day after day. And I've been there and done this. Day after day, you're watching the videos of destruction. And although it's the right thing to do, there are casualties who are, you know, not on the battlefield, but there are casualties. So it's a dirty business, but we have to do it, and we need to keep our people safe for sure.
Well, it's well said, and I have to tell you, for those of you who don't have the privilege of going over there and seeing it, whether you're a Brit, I don't care where you're, if you're part of the coalition, it would make you so proud to go over there and see the work that these young men and women are doing. We go to church there, obviously. It's the only church in the country there on base. And right next to the church is the British pub, which is always going with the RAF. They all have, every little coalition member force has their own place where they can occasionally get something to drink in this unnamed country that is quite hard to get alcohol in. I'll just say that. And they have a great time, and it would remind you of a something you'd see in World War II or even World War I, where the signs from home marking the distance are clearly displayed to London and to Los Angeles and San Diego and small, faraway Iowa, and everybody's in there together in the chow hall, and it's just really remarkable to get to see this. So, again, thank you. Stephen, as we talk about the RAF in the next 100 years, what are you excited about as a journalist?
As we've heard, it's a very uncertain future, but there are a lot of projects that are coming through. Tempest was announced at Farnborough just this last week. That's a new generation coming through. I think the important thing is that we continue to evolve and we continue to work with the US, with other coalition forces, because as a big group, we've got a far better chance of achieving any goal that we have, whatever that goal may be. And I think it's an essential thing that we continue to do. You talked about how important the RAF was to the British people earlier. I was in London just about 2 weeks ago. We had the 100th anniversary flypast down the Mall and over the top of Buckingham Palace with the royals on the balcony. I've never seen London so busy. You go down there for Trooping the Colour, any of the big parades, I've never seen so many members of the British public turn out. And the cheers as the aeroplane flew over, I think that's how much the Royal Air Force means to the British public.
That was remarkable. And for those of you who have not seen the video, the animation of the... Have you seen this, Dave, of the flight path of every jet. It is incredible to watch. The coordination that went into that must have been staggering, Group Captain Stevens. I can only imagine. I mean, I know you were there as well, from what I heard.
I was, yes, privileged to watch it from the ground. I've also done that myself for the 25th anniversary of the Falklands campaign. I was actually in the lead element of the jet aircraft. No pressure, get that right. But it's kind of, you rehearse it. It's generally like dropping a bomb on a target. You've got to be there on time. So you make sure, and we have all sorts of techniques that you rehearse to ensure. On this particular day, with 10 minutes to go, so we're just starting the run-in from the east of London. The radio call came in and said, it's a 10-minute delay. Her Majesty is not on the balcony yet. Okay, so we had to do what you have to do, did a dog leg, and then sorted it out and carried on. But it looks complicated, and I don't want to trivialize it, because it is complicated. But once you've rehearsed it enough, like anything, it should go well, and on that particular day it did.
Well, I'm going to come to Dave after I come to Kermit, but I want to ask you, Kermit, because you are such a historian and preservation-minded individual working on your third act, as we've all been talking. How do you help tell these stories in the future?
You know, it's interesting. I was in the museum business for a very long time, and I learned the hard way that if you have a product people aren't willing to pay for, you have a product most people don't want. And so I've come up with a concept to where the airplanes are still going to be there, the aviation enthusiasts are going to be excited about it with this new Act 3 Fantasy of Flight deal. But what happens is the airplanes just become set dressing to tell great stories about the human experience. And the reality is, if you can't bring history into the present, you might as well read a comic book. It has no bearing on anybody's reality. And I also think that the way we teach history could be told in a better way. You know, most people, when you say if we don't learn from history, we're condemned to repeat it, they nod their head and get a warm, fuzzy feeling. But the problem is, the way we teach history is we perpetuate the problem. We say they did this, we did that. So at some level, we're still pissed at these guys, blah, blah, blah. So why not show what we all share in common instead of what our differences are? And that's what I'm going to do at Fantasy of Flight.
I think that's great. Well, and obviously, the RAF's going to have a presence there with all of your affinity for these great aircraft and that story as well. So well said, Kermit. I'll turn it to you, though, Dave. You fly for a lot of these museums. You love these aircraft. How are you helping that? Why is that story so important to continue to tell?
It isn't always taught properly in schools, as you say. You know, history is just one subject amongst many, and there's so many distractions for young people, and the disconnect to the past is pretty complete. So when a family comes in to our museum, I concentrate on the kids. And I don't mind if they touch things, as long as they're somewhat respectful. And if they're not respectful, I use that as a learning point. And I say, oh, you must think this elevator is really, really strong. Well, look, it's just made out of fabric like your shirt. You could actually put a hole in it. And then if we can put a kid in one of the airplanes where, you know, not very likely to cause any problem, we do that. We put them in, we make them move the controls, and it brings the whole thing alive, and I think they'll remember it for a long time. And you've got to try and do that. You've got to try and make a connection with young people.
I think that's a great point, and we often miss that, don't we? That's what's so nice about here and about all of these folks is that they're involved in this day in and day out, and this is a touch-and-see type of a place that's here, and I think that's one of the great things about EAA. Group Captain Stevens, as we get ready to start the Q&A here, we're going to turn to you, and I'm probably going to have to put you on the spot on this, but I want you to give me the takeaway, that the everything. What is the one thing we should all remember about this anniversary and about the RAF as we leave here tonight? What do you really want to drive home?
Well, I would repeat the strapline that we've used for the year, which is commemorate, celebrate, and inspire. So to commemorate the past, for sure, to celebrate our achievements over 100 years, but to touch on the final point, it's to inspire the next generation, to understand what it is to fly, what it means, to understand that if you work hard, you will get the reward, because aviation is a rewarding pastime, job, call it what you will. So I think the inspire piece is the thing I would say take away from today. And this show is inspiring in itself, that you have here. I mean, Oshkosh, this is my first time here. I'm amazed There's so many aeroplanes in one place, and it all seems to be happening safely, touch wood. I like the bit about driving an aeroplane in, onto the grass and then getting your tent out and camping under the wing. I'm going to have to do that. I think Inspire would be my touch point. I hope that people take that away. And there's a young man in the audience here I know I was talking to earlier, and I hope he's inspired by this as well, so that we can go forward and generate the next generation of aviation enthusiasts and practitioners.
I think that's so well said. Now listen, how many of you here have somewhere to be tonight? Let me see a show of hands. That's what I thought. How many gearheads do we have out here? How many home builders and pilots and folks that are here to hear about airplanes do we have? Hold your hands up out here. You really want to know about this stuff, don't you? We're gonna dig into the meat and potatoes here. Now listen, I'm a Georgia farmer now. I'm raised in Texas. And have an old airplane and fly it around. Love it. I have a De Havilland Chipmunk. And I love hearing from these guys. The best part about Oshkosh, and this is my last question for all of you, how many of you are campers here tonight? How many real Oshkosh citizens do we have here? The best part about being here is hanging out around the campfire. Am I wrong? That's the best thing about being here. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just put a virtual campfire out here tonight, okay? We've already had the music, and Kermit has already had one broken airplane, so hopefully somebody has something for him to drink out here. And we're going to have a little...
Rum.
Yeah, you brought your own. We all know about your rum. So we're going to take a selfie with Kermit, too, because Kermit and his curfews, we have to take a big selfie with Kermit here in a minute. But I want to have a little campfire session here tonight. Is that all right with you if we do this? This is going to be fun. Dave did not bring his guitar tonight, but he and his brother Chris... I don't know if you've ever heard of Chris Hatfield, his brother... a guy that has traveled a lot more than 5,000 miles in one day on that big spaceship. But they're gonna actually sing here. Not tonight, but in a couple of nights. You're going to have a big show, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Thursday night.
We're looking forward to that. But let's have a little campfire session. Kermit, I think it was you. It might not have been you. But it was the old guy that I met at your place one night. I was down at Fantasy of Flight a number of years back, and I always associate this story with you. He said, young man, I want you to remember that the greatest American fighter had a British engine on board. I just love that line.